Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. And what follows? Psalter 188, 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, the first chapter, 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in him we live, we move, and have our being, that it has pleased thee in this evening hour, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and that a part of the congregation may come up, and the greater part are called upon to dwell in their homes. And then on this notable day, then we may remember and commemorate the birth of thy dear Son, that he has come in the flesh, that he was born in a stable, that he was laid in the manger. And then the angels have sung that glorious song. Then they have brought the message to the shepherds. And Lord, that message may be brought unto us and our children. And surely thou hast a purpose therewith. Shall either be a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. And then thou knowest how it has been in this day for each and every one of us, and how it is in this evening hour. May there be many amongst us with those holy longings, with those desires for thee, the living God. May there have come up souls up in this evening hour and in their dwellings that have told thee that the day is far spent, but that it may please thee to yet appear, to grant an answer, to be a wonder-doing God, and that with an impression that it is all sinned away. But, O Lord, thou wast sent thy dear Son as sinners to save, and then the necessity of the work of thy Holy Spirit, may it please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly, that we may be given to see that by nature we miss everything, that we miss thy favor, we miss thy communion, and we miss thy dear Son, that we are lying under thy wrath and under thy curse. Ah, Lord, may eyes be opened in this evening hour. May many among young and old be converted. Wilt thou grant the tender fear of the Lord? May we become the sinner indeed by the first time, and also in the way of further uncovering, ah, Lord. May there be some sinners in our midst, even great sinners, the cheapest of sinners, who have tried so hard to obey and to satisfy the law, and that have experienced that they are a great sinner still, bowing under thy justice and asking for a way, whether it is possible for such a sinner to yet be restored into that blessed communion. O Lord, And may it please Thee in this evening hour, oh, what a wonder that would be. And Thou art a wonder-doing God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to strip a sinner of everything and to make room for that precious child which was born in the stable and laid in the manger. Ah, wilt Thou draw, wilt Thou drive? Ah, may there be a soul, and may there be more, as with those shepherds, ah, may be a few souls, a darkness that can be felt, a pitch dark night, and where they do not see the stars of promise no more, and where it all seems so impossible, but ah, Lord, wilt Thou then remember, and wilt Thou be a surprising God, as Thou hast been with those shepherds of old, with that glorious and personal message, ah, Lord, with less we cannot do, and more we do not need, because He has declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life, ah, Lord. Wilt Thou then continue to work also in the further leadings, oh, on such a special day, then Thou hast a people upon the earth that feel how poor they are of self, so dependent, without Thee they can do nothing, a darkness all their own fault, and yet those longings, ah, Thou hast a people that also learns that by renewal, those desires, those longings, and those tears, they must be granted. But, ah, Lord, wilt Thou do it in this evening hour, that hearts may begin to burn, as those travelers traveling to Emmaus, when the Scriptures may be opened. May it please Thee to grant light upon and in that manger in the stable of Bethlehem, and because His name has been called Emmanuel, oh, not only to see, but also to receive the application, ah, Lord. Wilt Thou then manifest Thyself in a special way amongst us and our children? Oh, may it please Thee in these solemn days, in these serious times, that Thou may do a great work amongst us. Then Thy great and worthy name shall be glorified. Wilt Thou grant exercises to that end, to Thy church, for the coming of Thy kingdom, for the glory of Thy name. Lord, remember our little children. Remember our young people, remember our middle-aged, and remember the elderly ones amongst us. Wilt Thou remember Thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Oh, may Thy solemn callings, where Thou art speaking, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the mighty God is speaking. And there is no man that can stay Thy hand or say unto Thee, what doest Thou? But, ah, Lord, and may it be accompanied by Thy Spirit, and that Thou may do a great work amongst us. Lord, remember the many temporal needs, and then by renewal, then we commend unto Thee the Bethesda Care Home, where the virus has entered. Ah, Lord, wilt Thou remember the administrator, remember the whole staff, those that are not feeling well, wilt Thou grant courage and strength, and may their eyes be upon Thee, and oh, may Thou also use it for them, that they may learn by Thy Spirit that they need a hiding place, that they need that precious Savior, that they need that child born in the stable, O Lord. Wilt thou then use this special calling for young and old? Then we commend unto thee all the residents. Thou knowest there are many that are not feeling as they ought to feel. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may spare, that thou may care, and that many prayers may rise up unto thee, that thou may spread thy gracious wings over them. Lord, we commend unto thee the Father in his weak and frail condition, where it seems that his life is ebbing away. Also his times are in thy hand. Above all, remember, save his never dying soul. May he be given to cry with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. Remember then all the residents, for body and for mind, their mind and all. May it please thee that this calling, that it may be truly used, that it may be heard, that thou art working by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, to be uncovered to sin and to be led further. That would be encouragement for young and old, Lord. Be then a wonder-doing God, and wilt thou remember all the family circles, from the youngest to the oldest. Also, when the year draws to an end, then those empty places, then they are seen, then they are felt. Continue to uphold and to remember them all. And Lord, when in the immediate family circles, when there are no empty places, give a heart to acknowledge thee, and that we may truly be given to appreciate the many good things that thou hast left, and to be given to bewonder thy long suffering, that we may still have a place upon the earth, Lord. Remember all the sick and afflicted, the family circles. We commend them all unto thee, all those that are taking treatments. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the family circles, Lord. Remember the nations of the earth. Wilt thou also remember our nation and our province? Do remember the premier and those that stand at his side under these difficult and trying ways. And may there more be an acknowledgement that thou art the sovereign ruler, that thou reignest over everything, and that all of our labors must be blessed, Lord, by renewal. Then we remember the father and mother whom thou wast blessed with a little daughter. May they be humbled under thy goodness, and may it be a child of many prayers. May we be found to be more a praying and a begging people, Lord, then it is so necessary that we pray with the disciples, Lord. Teach us to pray. And now in this evening hour, wilt thou grant thy special help. May our eyes be upon thee. Anoint us with fresh oil from above, Lord, who was able to declare the wonder of the manger of Bethlehem with that precious child, but grant yet a few words to speak, and may thy word be blessed, Lord, with thy help, and then we can only bring it to the ears. It is thy work to bring it into the heart. Do it then, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified, Lord. Remember all the hearers in thy house, in the sanctuary, in the basement. Remember all those in their dwellings. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 420, the stanzas 5 and 6. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep, in bounties freely given. God cares for us, our God is He. Who would not fear His majesty in earth as well as heaven? And what follows of 420, the stanzas 5 and 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Timothy 1 and there of the 15th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Our text words speak of a faithful saying concerning Jesus Christ, the Savior, with three thoughts. In the first place, the trustworthiness of this faithful saying. In the second place, the salvation declared in this faithful saying. And in the third place, the beneficiaries of this faithful saying. A faithful saying concerning Jesus Christ, the Savior, the trustworthiness of this faithful saying, the salvation declared in this faithful saying, and in the third place, the beneficiaries of this faithful saying. Beloved congregation, then the Lord is granted by renewal on this special day that we may place ourselves under His word, an eternal testimony. Then we have heard in this morning, and who is able to declare the wonder and the riches of the birth of the Son of God? Surely, with that birth, then the Lord has something special to say to all the people upon the face of the earth. Where in our deep fall in Adam, we have broken the covenant, transgressed His commandments. We are transgressors from the womb, and the whole world is at enmity with the Lord, with His Son of free and sovereign grace. And now in the fullness of time, the Lord did not come to destroy, as He has done the first world. Only 8 souls were saved. But then He has given His Son, whom the Father knew would not be accepted, whom the Father knew, the Son knew, and the Spirit knew, that the people of this earth, that they would take that precious gift, that they would lead Him to Calvary, and that they would hang Him on that cursed cross. Then surely the Lord has something to say. And now, young and old, how is it now with that manger? And how is it with that child? Then we do well that each and every one, that we may examine our hearts, how it is traveling to that never-ending eternity. Oh, we are coming closer to the end of the year, and what the last day shall hold in. It is all known unto the Lord, but it tells us that everything shall come to an end. And how shall we appear before our Maker without that precious child, young and old? Tell me now in this evening, we have such a precious text. It is such a rich gospel that Christ came into the world to save the cheapest of sinners. But let me ask you, have you now become a sinner? Have you now become the sinner by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit? Jesus has come sinners to save. Have we been placed in that missing? Has sin become a bitter thing unto us, young and old? Are there those times and those places that we have wept those bitter and those sweet tears because that we have sinned against such a just and against such a good-doing God, that we have learned, lived in, and experienced that bitter separation that is worse than death? Have we learned to cry for mercy? We are still in the precious day of grace, and now the necessity not only that we become the sinner, may we be given to examine ourselves as the Son of God, that precious child. Has he become necessary? Has he become precious? Has he been revealed? Because when that taketh place, congregation, oh, it is not the beginning, that new birth, but when the Son of God may be revealed, then our hearts, then the leadings in our life become different, then the outgoings of our heart shall be that he may also become my Savior. Because sinners he has come to save. Are there in this evening yet sinners, boys and girls? Have you now become a sinner, young people? Have you now experienced your sin that missing? Have you made that good choice, older ones? Are there sinners in my midst? Oh, then our text, oh, what an instruction and what an encouragement. Oh, then we may say that over the door to that stable, then there are such precious invitations. What an objections, what a difficulties, what an onslaughts there can be concerning that precious Savior. But now over the door of that stable, we read thereof in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." Ah, may there be souls in this evening hour that may be given to look into that manger and to see that precious child, because his name has been called Emmanuel, and that means God with us. And no man can come to the Father except through him. Oh, for a poor and for a needy soul. Then in that Savior, there is everything to be found, what we stand in need of. And now concerning that child, oh, the riches in that manger, that is declared in our text word, and this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, are there souls when that precious mediator, when that precious name may be declared, that is with those travelers to Emmaus, that their heart may begin to burn. Apostle Paul, he has written this epistle after he was released from his first prison, which was at Rome. And then he has come to Ephesus, and then he has left his son Timothy, his spiritual son Timothy. He has left them in the church of Ephesus, and then Paul has continued his church to Macedonia. And then after the first two verses of introduction, then we read in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Then we read in chapter 3, verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And that has been repeated in chapter 4, verse 13. Thus, while the Apostle Paul was in Macedonia, then he was led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write his pastoral epistles. They are one and two, Timothy and Titus, and that concerned especially the ruling and the administration in the midst of the church. Then in this chapter we have heard it in the verses 3 through 10, then warnings concerning false doctrine, and then after those warnings, oh, then the Apostle Paul, led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because Timothy would also experience in the church of Ephesus, that it was not always so easy, that there would be discouragements, oh, the hardness and the enmity of the natural heart. But then Paul is given to write to Timothy, and then he is given to extol the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he was given to relate what a wonder has taken place in his life before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then comes our text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, Thus our first point, the trustworthiness concerning that same. And then in the first place, the trustworthiness concerning a truth or a saying or a fact, that depends much on the person. Those brothers of Joseph, when they have come to the land of Egypt to buy corn, then Joseph knew that they were not true men, that they were spies. They said they were true men, but then later they have become guilty. And now this faithful saying, that is not spoken by a man, but that is spoken by the living God, whom I read in Titus 1 verse 2, the God that cannot lie. And in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, a God who is faithful, Christ has called himself in John 14 verse 6, that he is the truth. Thus congregation, this faithful saying is not spoken in the first place by the apostle, but it is spoken by the living God, who speaks nothing but the truth. And now concerning that person, then we may speak of his attributes. He is unchangeable. Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye children of Jacob are not consumed. And in Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It can be with mankind that they speak a certain truth, but that later it is changed according to circumstances. Then concerning this saying, it is by the God who is eternally wise. It is by God who is almighty. With the Lord there is nothing impossible. Then further, it is spoken by a God who fulfills all things. What an examples we have in the Bible. Then it is that unchangeable God, the God of truth. How many words are spoken in the Bible concerning promises? Oh, it is true. 'Tis the general way that the Lord goes through the depth, through a way of impossibility, that they may learn more and more whom the Lord is. But it is also a God of truth concerning his justice and concerning his judgments. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then in the second place, then concerning this acceptable saying, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, then many times the question is whether it has been proven. We think in our time and our life, then many products, then they are first proven, they are first tested. And if it is a product that is very beneficial, then many people buy that product. Oh, concerning this acceptable saying, how many read the Bible, read the Old and the New Testament. Then we may put it this way, congregation. Then the Bible as it is as a gallery of many saints that have proven this acceptable saying, that have proven the God of truth, and that he is a God that cannot lie. Oh, the church in the scriptures, the church unto this very day, and then they have found that they shall never be put to shame when we think of the length of the time concerning the acceptable sayings of God. Then we can begin with an Adam and Eve. What a saints there are that have proven that the Lord is a God of truth. Oh, Moses, he was willing to suffer affliction further concerning this acceptable saying. And when it is worthy of acceptance, then it also concerns the possibility to receive it. Because in this time there can be many good things that are profitable, that are necessary, but for many they are out of their reach. Third world countries, when they hear of the many blessings which we may possess, how desirous they can be, but impossible to purchase, they have not the money, they have not the funds. But now this acceptable saying, so worthy it is of faithful saying, because for the church it is without money and without price. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It has endured the test of hardship. What the saints were willing to endure, that they may receive the favor and the blessing of the Lord. They were willing to endure the spoiling of their goods. They have lost friendship. They have suffered persecution. They were willing to be burned on the stake. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And then this worthy saying, then what it changes, what a renewal it has brought about. Adam and Eve, they were converted. What an examples we have in the scriptures. Think of Manasseh has filled Jerusalem with his blood. But now this faithful saying concerning the grace of God, because in the Old Testament the church was saved through the Savior that would come. What an examples we have of those that were drawn with the cords of love. The Lord's free congregation does not in the first place go about the depth, but it goes about the truth. Then we read in verse 16, Paul, as a pattern, as an example, what a change. It was such a great change when he started preaching. Oh, even when the Lord has called Ananias to go to Saul, and then he has declared that he is filled, that he was a persecutor, and when he started to preach, there were many, it was such a great wonder. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Thus that concerns all the word of God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, young and old. Has now the word of God, all the word of God, has it become a weighty word? Has it become a worthy word? Has it become an acceptable word? Have we been drawn by the cords of love? Have we become filled with a holy jealousy? And this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Our text especially concerns Christ coming into this sinful world, that he was willing to be humbled so low, Oh, he has come sinners to save. But let me ask you, by renewal congregation, have you now become a sinner? Have you now become the sinner? Have you become a sinner that has cried for mercy? Oh, then our text words, what a precious word. It concerns the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Our second thought, the salvation declared in this faithful saying. And then we read in our text that Christ Jesus, many times we find the term Jesus Christ in the beginning of this chapter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But in our text words and in verse 16, and when we read the epistles of Paul, then as we come later with his writings by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then that order becomes more common, that Christ Jesus, and then children, then Christ, that is his official name, and Jesus his personal name. When we think of Caesar Augustus, then his official name was mentioned first. And now Paul says concerning that worthy saying, that faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, oh, young and old. What a rich proclamation, and what a wonder. That is now the wonder of the manger of Bethlehem. Christ, his official name, means anointed by the Holy Spirit, already appointed. We have heard a few weeks ago from Isaiah 42, the verses 1 and 2, mine elect, in whom I delight. Oh, then Paul is given to declare how Jesus, think our children know the meaning of that name, as we read it in Matthew 1, verse 21, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And now Jesus, he has become the Christ, necessary that he would be prophet, that he would be priest, that he would be king. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Congregation, what a love declared in our text. We read in John 3, verse 16, of the gift of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now concerning this faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world. What a love of the Son. He has already given himself in the Council of Peace, when the Trinity is counseled concerning the lost sons and daughters of Adam. We are included in them. How shall I place them among the children? Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, and thy laws written within my heart. Oh, what a love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to leave the third heavens that he was willing to assume our human nature, that he was willing to be born as a little infant, so helpless, dependent upon his parents, that he was willing to come so low, that he was willing to become so poor. Oh, the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he has become poor, that through his poverty ye may become rich." Oh, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ that he may assume our human nature, because the justice of the Father required that the same nature would be punished. Oh, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, and that is for a purpose, so God glorifying and so soul saving. Oh, it is written in our text, to save sinners, young and old, do you hear it? Then there is not one in this evening hour that can say that it is not for me. There is not one that can say that it is impossible, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to save sinners, and we are all great sinners. Oh, we have sinned against all the commandments of the law. We have heard it when we have dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai. Oh, young and old, the Lord Jesus Christ, as sinners he has come to save. But let me ask you by renewal, let me lay it close to your heart. Have you now become a true sinner? Oh, have you learned that you have sinned against a just and a good-doing God? Have you learned that you have sinned against his goodness, that you have sinned against his providence, that you have sinned against the callings, that you have sinned when the Lord was speaking unto us through our conscience? Oh, then our sins, they are heavily high, our debt is great. And have you now ever become a sinner? Oh, have you tried to please the Lord? Have you tried to satisfy justice? Have you tried to settle your debts? Or do you not think of those things, congregation? Because we shall all agree, we have heard it in a special way at the foot of Mount Sinai, that we are sinners, even great sinners. And how must it not go with your sin? Because we shall have to give an account to appear before the Lord. What shall you do with your sins, young and old, if you have to die in your sins? Then how terrible it shall be. But now, oh, let me tell you that if you have to die unconverted under this precious text, would have been better that you were never born. That is written of Judas. But you are born, and you have a soul, and you are traveling to eternity, and we have all sinned so grievously and so greatly against the Lord. Our debt is heavenly high, and we can never pay. Oh, young and old, have you ever tried it, to satisfy justice, to pay your debt? Has it become your desire to please the Lord? Have you yet told the Lord, "Lord, have some patience with me, and I will pay thee all"? But now, by the deeper uncovering, to learn that I am a sinner still, then what a precious text. Oh, for poor and needy sinners. Oh, when there are true sinners in my midst. Oh, it is also the work of that precious child born and his prophetical office to make us sinners indeed, to make us poor and needy, to make room for that precious child that was born in the manger of Bethlehem. But oh, for poor sinners, what an encouragement our text, that Jesus Christ, that he came into the world as sinners to save. Oh, what a great and what an abundant mercy. Oh, is there then a guilty people with a burden of sin upon their back, a people that have tried to pay and that are a sinner still? Oh, come then in this evening and look then in that manger and behold the Christ child, the gift of the Father, which the Father has given so freely and so willingly, that a ransom may be paid, that his justice may be satisfied, that his name may be glorified, and that there may be souls, and that there may be a church, that may be restored into that blessed communion. Oh, are there sinners in my midst? The Lord Jesus Christ, sinners he has come to save. But let me ask you, oh, may I impress it upon your heart, have you now become a sinner? Have you now become the sinner? Oh, is there now a soul, perhaps, that in this evening hour, ah, that hath heard that truth, but in the way of experience, ah, then Satan comes, and then he says, it is not for you. You have sinned too long. It can even be that we are afraid, that we have sinned too much. And to that end, oh, Paul, he has experienced by the grace of God the abundant mercy through Jesus Christ by the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a rich proclamation in the manger of Bethlehem that his name is Jesus. He has come as people to save. Let us first sing. Psalter 64, the three stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult over me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows? 64, the three stanzas. Thank you. a faithful saying concerning Jesus Christ, the Savior. The trustworthiness of this faithful saying, the salvation declared in this faithful saying, and now thirdly, the beneficiary of this faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who are we now to understand by those sinners? Are they awakened sinners? Are they sinners that have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit? Are those the sinners that Jesus has come to save? If that was now the case, congregation, then it would be eternally lost. Because how does the Lord find His people? Tis a privilege. When the Lord finds us still in the church, oh, my dear young people, and never leave that old truth, where it may be declared that it is sovereign, a free and sovereign grace, that it is the work of a triune God. Oh, what a poor gospel it is, when it is told of people that are so dead as those dry bones in the valley that Ezekiel has seen in chapter 37, that they must arise and that they must live. Thus in our text, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. In Ephesians 2 verse 12, aliens of the covenant, strangers of the promise, without God, without Christ, without hope. In Psalm 40, there we read of sinners that are in that horrible pit, in that miry clay, and that day after day, that they sink deeper in that miry clay to eternal perdition. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ, as sinners He has come to save, and now He saves those sinners by word and by spirit. Ah, when we have mentioned awakened sinners, it is necessary, it is the work of the Spirit. John 16, the verses 8 through 10, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. As sinners He came to save, and then we have said, in the way of experience, in that way of deeper uncovering, and then to learn, oh, what a great sinner I am. To become the chiefest of sinners, and that does not mean congregation, that we have to live it out. When the Lord, when He uncovers deeper, then we do not stand above the drunkard that is laying on the street, where we have had so many privileges and so many blessings. Dig deeper, son and man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. For the church, then grace becomes a wonder. For the church, when we think that the Lord is wrought, and it has never become a wonder, but now, our text, it is a text that many of God's people, that they have a little difficulty with, of course. Paul was given to speak out of his experience. But in that deeper uncovering, then what a comfort for the true church of God, for poor and needy sinners that ruin and that spoil everything with everything that they have experienced. and that they are a sinner still. And then Paul, and then he has added concerning that precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has come into the world as sinners to save Paul. He has learned it very clearly and very vividly. And then he was given to write to his spiritual son Timothy that what a glorious gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then we read many good things of Paul, because in Philippians 3 verse 5, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And in Acts 26 verse 5, that after the strictest sect of our religion, I lived the Pharisee. Thus, Paul has thought in his blindness and in his natural state and with his religion, if there would be anyone that would go to heaven, it would be he. But now the Lord has come. The Lord has stopped him on the way to Damascus. Oh, with Saul, it was such a powerful, it was such a quick work can be in the life of those that have been led in a more gradual way, more drawn by love perhaps, and that when they do not know, seem like Timothy, that he has served the Lord from his youth. What a blessing, youth, when the Lord may begin early in our life. What a blessing for those that may not tell of a change, that have feared the Lord from their youth, but for that people they can many times be attacked, and then they become so jealous of Paul. Oh, then they think, if the Lord had now converted me as a Paul, then I would never doubt, and then I could always believe, because then I could tell that change was so evident, it was so powerful. And nevertheless, the Spirit, people of God, have the same instructor, and they shall all be taught the depth of their depravity, of that evil heart, actual and original sin, to become a great sinner, even to become the chiefest of sinners, that the child of God, that they are given to tell the Lord, Lord, I do not think that there is another one upon the earth that has sinned so grievously. Lord, is there yet mercy for such a sinner? But oh, in our text, for a people that are uncovered deeper, that have experienced what a great sinner they are. They have sinned against the law. They have sinned the gospel. Then the Apostle Paul, then he has declared in the former verses, in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. And when he has written to Timothy, because he did it ignorantly in unbelief, then we must not understand that sins of ignorance, that they are not sin. And then we must not understand it was the reason that the Lord had mercy upon him. But then Paul could say, when he says, I have done it in ignorance, Then the Lord has not given me so far that I have even sinned against the Holy Ghost. When we think of sins of ignorance, then I read in Leviticus 4 and 5 that it is mentioned 6 times that there was a sacrifice for sins of ignorance, in Numbers 15, 7 times, and then in verse 30, the soul that sins that ought presumptuously is cut off. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Ah, that is what the church learns. They are given to be wonder, the exceeding grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Then Paul, then he has nothing to glory of. He is only given to glory in the work of a triune God, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Young and old, then I ask you by renewal, have we now become a sinner because sinners Jesus came to save? Oh, what an encouragement concerning the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. Then our text tells us that there is no sinner too black, and no sinner too vile, and no sinner that has sinned too much, and no sinner too old. Ah, my elderly friends, the grace Jesus Christ, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Surely, when we have become old, then how great our sins are, but he has come sinners to save. Young and old, what a precious truth, what a precious gospel. Oh, it is declared that it is possible for each and every one of us, but it is a truth. It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, all concerning the saving of a soul. Then the Holy Spirit leads, then the Lord brings, then they are given to accept their condemnation. They are given to bow under the justice of God, because the church loves all the attributes of the Lord. But now for the church, when they may be given to learn, oh, to go lost, that Jesus Christ, that he has come to save sinners. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, that Paul has experienced when he was given to look back, when he was a blasphemer, when he had those letters in his pockets. Oh, he thought, in persecuting the followers of Jesus, he was doing the Lord a favor. And then when Paul was given to look back, then he was given to be wonder the long suffering of the Lord, that the Lord had not cast him into hell when he was persecuting his dear children, the great long suffering for a pattern to them. Thus Paul is given to say, O Church of God, then the Lord has raised me up as a pattern, as an example of his free and sovereign grace. It is as if in this chapter that Paul is placed in the gallery of the saints, those that have been saved for instruction, but also for encouragement, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. Are we included in that number? Oh, blessed Paul, free in sovereign grace, as saved by Jesus Christ, his child, his saint, his servant, he was given to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, of whom I am chief. Do you hear it, congregation? I think our boys and girls can understand that Paul had an impression when he was persecuting, when he put God's people to death, that he was the chief of sinners. But now when he has written to Timothy, he did not say, of whom I was chief, but of whom I am chief. Do you hear, people of God? That is now the experience. And that further uncovering, that we remain a sinner. When we become more than a sinner, that we become too much. It is true, Paul could speak that he was a reconciled sinner. He has experienced the justification in the court of his conscience, but in the way of sanctification, of whom I am chief, Paul. And the people of God, they learn that after committing so much sin and so much evil, and then to receive so much grace through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, and now, after receiving so much grace, to still commit so much evil. Read Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And how did Paul now end? Did he boast of what he has done? Did he become proud? Does not mean that God's people do not have that pride. Oh, what a pride there remains. But when it may be given to experience that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, then all boasting is excluded. He has written to the Ephesians, by grace are ye saved through faith. 'Tis a gift of God, not by works, lest man should boast. And then, before as Paul has continued, then where did he end? Now, unto the King. Oh, the King, his birth, we may commemorate in this day, young and old. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is so worthy to be served. He is so worthy to be worshipped. Ah, the shepherds, they have seen him. They have seen the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now unto the King eternal. Do you hear, congregation? That King is eternal. Shall come a day that he shall appear upon the great white throne, and then we shall all see him. And how shall we see him? Oh, for the people of God, Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. They shall behold him as their King, as their Savior. But my unconverted fellow travelers, I beg the Lord that you may be given to experience this text. Then we can live, then we can die. But if our sins are not pardoned, then at the end then we shall appear before the King eternal to give an account and then to be punished. Then the gospel shall no longer be preached. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Oh, Paul, may have a little beginning when the church may be taken home, shall be their eternal song through him alone, because of thy sovereign good pleasure, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, young and old. Have you now become a sinner because sinners Jesus has come to save? Amen. Lord, then what a rich message. And who was able to declare the riches of that message? May it be for uncovering, may it be for instruction, may it be for encouragement, Lord. Wilt thou crown thy holy word with thy blessing? Remember us and our children. Wilt thou work mightily, convert what is unconverted, and remember thy people. Wilt thou remember us in this evening hour, remember us in the day of tomorrow, remember and prepare us for the Sabbath day, also when the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered, the visible gospel, Lord. Remember those parents. Wilt thou grant them a week of preparation? Remember those little children. Oh, wilt thou do for them what is declared in our text and what is signified in the sacrament of holy baptism, Lord? Remember all the sick, all the afflicted. By renewal we lay the needs of Bethesda before thee, the residents, the staff. Wilt thou be mindful of them? Wilt thou remember the father in his low condition? Above all, remember his soul, Lord. Grant now traveling mercies. Grant meditations upon thy holy word. Grant a prayer for one another. Pardon us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows, Psalter 200, 1, 3, and 4.
And the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace.